my name is Ray Montgomery. I'd like to welcome you to the Navigating Blindness podcast. And today we have members from the Indy Thunder Beat baseball team joining us today. How y'all doing today?
Great.
Good, Ray. How are you?
All right. Cool, cool. Well, I wanted to bring y'all guys on the podcast because right now, you know, it's baseball season, and I wanted to inform our audience about Beat baseball and what, you know, actually Beat baseball is, and, you know, and what the season really is going to entail for you guys. But I know y'all going for your sixth championship this year, so I know y'all getting excited for that. So how y'all feeling about this year's upcoming season?
Yeah, no, I feel really good. We have a couple new faces and people that we're already new and are familiar with, but I feel pretty good about the development of the players we have that we're bringing back and those that are kind of joining us. So I'm looking forward to it.
Your coach, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, we just came back from Vegas, and we know what we need to work on. We finished second. We'll put in the practice time. We always have good player development. So as Jared stated, I'm looking for a good season and looking for us to be there, try to contend to be there on that Saturday in late July.
So Darnell, you're the coach of the Indy Thunder. How long have you been the coach of the Indy Thunder Beat baseball team?
I'd say for the last couple decades, whether it be coaching or assistant coaching. Since we really started our team in 2000, so in the coaching seat for over 20 years.
Oh, okay. Jared Woodard, how you doing? So Jared, how long have you been a part of the team? What got you involved?
I've been with the Indy Thunder since 2016, so about 8 years now.
And as someone who is, you know, sighted, what got you involved with the sport?
Well, my dad is blind himself, so he's been playing since I was born, and I grew up around the sport, and so I kind of started to get involved back in the late 90s and, you know, loved being a part of it, so that's kind of how I got involved.
Okay. So, Darnell, so for those who may be listening for the first time, could you really give us a brief overview of what Beat baseball is?
Well, I'm going to let my other coach, because Jared and I are co-coaching this year.
Yeah.
And Jared states it very well. So I'm going to hand that off to Jared like a handoff.
Yeah, Ray. So Beat baseball, the goal is to simply hit the ball and to get to the base before the defense picks the ball up. So the bases are only first and third. There is no second. They're 100 feet away, unlike 90 in baseball. And unlike baseball, you don't have to grab the ball and throw it anywhere. You just got to pick it up off the ground away from your body. And then if you do that before the person who hit the ball gets to the base, then that is an out. If they get to the base before you pick it up, then that is a run. Some other major differences are 4 strikes instead of 3. And basically, each play, you have a chance to score a run. There is no RBIs, doubles, singles, anything like that. It's just a run or an out each play.
And I just want to add, it's 6-6. We play our games on soccer fields. The reason why I want to hand it off to Jared, because he's more short and to the point. I don't want to be so long-winded, but I just want to say 6-6. And now we include it in our sport, double play ball on one hop. If you catch it on one hop, it's 2 outs. And if you hit a home run, it has to go 170 feet in the air. If it goes beyond that, we get 2 runs. You get 2 runs for hitting a home run, which is 170 foot line.
Talk to me about why you play your games on a soccer field instead of a traditional baseball field.
Because with the baseball and softball fields, they generally have a fence. They also have brick dust on the infield, and beatball is played on grass opposed to brick dust. And that just gives us more room. When there's a fence or something in the background, that also messes with the auditory part of the game, which is pretty much all of it. So just trying to avoid any type of obstacle or any type of obstacle, especially that's going to interfere with the sound of the game as well.
As we know, there are different levels of blindness. How do you ensure that everybody's on the equal playing field?
Everybody has to wear a blindfold to make the playing field equal, because as you stated, there's different variations of blindness. So with the blindfold, I mean, everyone is equal, the players on offense and the players on defense. It makes the playing field equal when everybody wears.
Yeah, definitely. So talk to me about just really the audience when you're out there playing, and how the audience has to be, you know, quiet to ensure that you can actually hear what's going on the field, and how that helps, you know, the team ensure that we have a good game right there.
Well, it's just like the sport of tennis. You know, you have to be quiet while the play is going on. My little slogan is applause is necessary, but silence is golden. Yeah. So the batter can focus on the random base, first or third, and the fielders can focus on tracking the ball. So, I mean, yes, you're going to have your airplanes and you may have your traffic, but, you know, you try to keep it as quiet as possible in between plays. After the play is over with, there's cheering from either the defensive team or the offensive team or the teams in general if they made a good play on defense or if they got to the base before the fielders picked the ball up. So my little slogan is applause is necessary, but silence is golden. And, yeah, I mean, that's just the gist of it.
No, I understand. Yeah, it just makes it hard because you're out there, you already can't, you know, since we can't already see the ball, you know, and people out there cheering and, you know, making noise, which is good. We like it. But, you know, right now I'm trying to find that beeping baseball. So right now, you know, with the extra noise, it's going to make it, you know, 10 times difficult, you know, in order to, you know, get that ball so that other team doesn't score. So.
Yeah, Ray. And you know, not just spectators, but people making noise as far as, you know, they're mowing their yard and they live beside the soccer complex, or you have airplanes and helicopters go over. Those things require timeouts in beatball, just because with that much noise, you know, you have to pause play because you don't want to be playing at a competitive level when that noise is going on.
Yeah, definitely. So, coach, what have you seen? Like, you've been around the sport for years. What have you seen the sport do to a person's self-esteem? You know, because sometimes when you lose your vision or, you know, you experience a traumatic incident, you feel like you can't do certain tasks that you once did before. So what has this sport really done to help those individuals with their self-esteem?
I think it builds confidence, knowing they can go get out there on the field and being around team camaraderie, being a part of a team, you know, helping them with navigating life by, you know, getting a better job, going through school, getting some training, just their confidence in general when they know that, hey, I can be out there on the field and I can compete and I can be around a team. So their self-confidence, I feel, has been is a really good thing that I've seen since I've been coaching a team and since I've been around the sport for 20 plus years, or since 1985, but coaching wise for the last 2 decades. I'm sure Jared may want to add his twist on it.
Yeah, like Darnell mentioned, it's just overall confidence boost, but also, you know, just that familiarity, being around other people who are blind and visually impaired, who are competing at a high level and who are also successful off the field. So that confidence in themselves and confidence in the situation of just having lost their sight, possibly knowing that there are others out there who are experiencing it with them and have also conquered the challenges that they've faced.
Thunder Rose, you had a new documentary. I seen it. It was a great documentary focusing on the team, the sport of beat baseball, really giving a light to the sport of beat baseball. So talk about the documentary Thunder Rose and how that all came about.
Well, I'll say my little thing and I'll have Jared add on. But it came about when the producers from Bloomington was looking for a team to do a documentary on. So they got in contact with myself, and then we had to, you know, do the process of going through our board and everything like that. And that's based on the 2017 season. So they found us. We didn't find them. Bob Arnove and Suzanne Schwib are the producers of Thunder Rolls, The World of Blind Baseball. And it was a perfect fit because in the documentary, to me, it's 2-in-1. You have a human interest story about on about off the field, and then you have the competitive side of going for a championship back to back. So it just shows that our volunteers, it shows everything about our team on and off the field, players and volunteers included.
Yeah, that's kind of what I really loved about it, is like they captured beatball really well and the competitive spirit there, but as well as the camaraderie, just not on the team, but amongst teams and throughout the league. But they really highlighted, you know, the lives of those who are blind and visually impaired, not just on the beatball field, but they followed, you know, some of our players as they went to work, as they went to school, as they raised their family. So it was really nice to have that in the film, not just beat baseball, but also, you know, successfully living everyday life.
Yeah, I like that human aspect of the film. Just really getting the behind the scenes, to really dig into the players' lives and really show that people who are blind not just play beat baseball, but we, you know, we work, you know, we raise our families, you know, we travel. So really just breaking down a lot of stereotypes that are put on the blind community. So yeah, definitely I feel it did that. So how can someone actually get a chance to view the film? I know it's out there circulating somewhere.
Well, right now they have a trailer you can view, because, and there'll be different showings sometime late summer, early fall at Victory Field, because we are associated with the Indianapolis Indians. So they're going to show the film either late summer or early fall at Victory Field. But right now it's you can view the trailer online, or you can go to the Indy Thunder Facebook page and scroll down to where it shows the trailer. So you can just watch the trailer. But like I said, we're trying to enter the film in different festivals so we can get it out there and see what happens. But we are going to get a chance to show it at Victory Field, and perhaps also at the World Series, which is in late July. So there'll be a showing there. And then they're also going to try to get it at the National Federation of the Blind convention as well. So there's three opportunities, whether, you know, you're blind or visually impaired or volunteers or sighted, whatever, to see the film. But as far as the trailer goes, you can go to Indy Thunder Beat Baseball, our Facebook page, and scroll down. And so you can view just the trailer at this time.
Definitely keep us posted. So when it's at Victory Field, I definitely want to make sure that we share that and keep our audience in tune to when they could go check that out, because this is definitely a great documentary.
For sure.
So talk about just really quickly how, you know, how sighted individuals or individuals can volunteer for the sport of beat baseball.
I'm sure they, well, there's, you know, and if there's a team in their city, anybody that's sighted, you know, that, because like I always say, without volunteers, beat baseball would not happen, because we need the sighted community that was interested in beat baseball to be our eyes, in sense of, you know, picking people up to and from practice, or taking, you know, driving the van, or just doing a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, with the team. And like I said, they can contact their local team. If they can go to nbba.org/teams, and they can see if there's teams in their area to pick a team. Indy has two teams, the Indy Thunder, which is based on the north side of town, and the Indy Edge, which is based on the south side of town. So they can get involved that way. Maybe Jared has some other ways. Like I said, I'm sure Bosma's, of course, is a big supporter of ours. So I'm sure we get lots of, you know, either volunteers and help over there. So, yeah, and sometimes it's word of mouth if people want to come out and check out our sport and then perhaps be a volunteer.
Yeah, definitely. So in the north side is the Thunder and the south side is the Edge?
Yes.
That sounds like some the Cubs and the White Sox type thing. Yeah. Rivalry going on right there.
Yeah, it's a healthy rivalry. You know, just the last 7 world championships have come from the Indianapolis area, you know. So we'll see if we can keep it going, but we want to shift it back to the Thunder side. So, the teams to beat are here in Indianapolis. So we'll hopefully, like I said, we're trying to come back and get that 6th chip.
I was going to add, Darnell mentioned, you know, there's plenty of ways to volunteer as far as, you know, we put on our tournament each year at the first weekend of June up at North Central High School. And so
helping set up tents and get chairs out and taking chairs down and all that stuff is really helpful. And then we have a couple different fundraising events that we do each year, and most teams do, but also like volunteering as far as being a part of the team. Our spotters on defense that set up the defensive players and call zones to where the ball is hit. Our pitcher, our catcher, they're all sighted volunteers, as well as those that are on the bench, just, you know, making sure people have water and making, you know, helping people to and from the main tent or whatever it may be, bathroom. So there's plenty of ways to volunteer and be a part of the sport, whether you're on the field, on the bench, or just helping get these events going.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So definitely be checking you guys out this season, going for that sixth championship. And I definitely see a sixth chip in your future. So I know you guys are going to have a great season. If you want to learn more about Bava, please make sure you are subscribed to all of our social media sites, LinkedIn, Facebook, X. Make sure you're subscribed to the Navigating Blinders podcast and wherever you get your podcast. That's Apple, SoundCloud, and Google. And I'll check you out next week.